Hey everyone, I'm Susan Campbell and you're listening to Unfiltered, a podcast where my team of marketing professionals share their thoughts on all things branding. You'll laugh, you'll learn, and hopefully walk away with new info about how to market your business. Enjoy.
So today we are honored to have a very special guest with us. And by guest, we mean president and owner of SJC Marketing, Susan Campbell, is with us today. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is morning still. It feels like afternoon.
It's been a long day.
No, it's 12:15. It's afternoon.
Okay.
Sorry.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Susan.
Before we get started, I wanted to do something fun with Susan because she has lots of knowledge about what we're going to talk about, mm-hmm. but she's also a Netflix guru. Did you know that?
What do you mean by that?
She like knows every single episode.
I think she's calling me a couch potato.
No.
I could challenge that.
She's like a multitasker. She watches Netflix. Does her kids
and CrossFits
and meal preps.
Oh!
She does like 8 things while she's Netflixing, and she's probably playing a card game and beating her husband at it. So, what's your favorite Netflix show right now?
Oh gosh, well, we are watching Better Call Saul.
Oh yes, yeah.
The new episodes just came out on Netflix, and you have to space them out because there's only like 12 episodes.
So
or
that's
something?
Why is that why there's a Breaking Bad Snapchat filter?
Probably
because they're trying to advertise for
yes,
Better Call Saul.
Because you start to see more of the characters that are in Breaking Bad start to emerge out of this Better Call Saul series because you're. They're basically taking you down. Are we breaking copyright laws talking about this?
No, you just can't quote them.
You just can't sing A Whole New World or Tales
right.
of this time.
Well, they're trying to give you the whole background of how this particular attorney who was named Jimmy in his former life became Saul.
Okay, gotcha. So, all right.
It's great. Went to a Greek restaurant Saturday night.
I've been wanting to ask you
about
this.
Oh my gosh. Best time ever.
Where?
It's in Kansas City, Warnell Road, about a couple miles down from 435. Tasso's is what it's called. So it was a friend from CrossFit. It was her birthday, so she wanted a bunch of us to go down. So on one end of the table, it's all of her CrossFit friends, and the other end of the table is all of her work friends or, you know, whatever. So there's only, you know, 4 of us of the CrossFit friends. We're up dancing, yelling, oppa!
Every time
something
exciting. Did you get to break
plates? Yes. And took our napkins and flung them around, and we danced to the regular music. There was a belly dancer. We took belly dancing lessons. We got up there. We learned how to do.
All while eating dinner?
All while eating dinner and having fun drinks because my daughter made me not have wine because she says I have wine all the time and I need to get outside of my comfort zone and do something fun. And oh my gosh, we were flying high off of that. Even by Sunday morning, it was so much fun.
Oh my gosh, we have to check that out.
Well, I looked on Yelp and it only had 3.5 stars. So was the food not that good?
No, maybe people
I
just
like
don't
Greek
reveal
food,
it.
So I thought it was great. It probably depends on what your expectations are. So like that other half of the table that never got up.
Yeah.
Except, well, one guy, it was his birthday too. He did get up for they made all the birthday people, you know, take a shot and kiss each other on the cheek and all that stuff. He did get up for it. But the rest of them just sat and watched us the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of boring. Why would you not want to get up and have fun with everybody else?
They didn't have enough liquid courage, maybe.
They were ordering it. I don't know what the problem was.
I will definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, I want to. Ever since you posted those pictures, I was like, oh, I want to check this
and
out.
And that doesn't even. Okay, we should take a field trip and go down there because
that was so much fun.
Oh, did everything have cucumbers in it?
You know, no. It's Mediterranean.
I even got the gyro plate, which has all the stuff that a gyro has in it, but just separate. And just had a strip of cucumber on the side. So you can avoid cucumber down there.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah, so that was super fun. And, you know, it was with, like I said, all my
all your friends. I'm still living off the high of going to Topgolf with
all of you guys. I get to go back in a couple of weeks for a friend's birthday, and I'm so excited.
That's awesome. We've been like 3 more times since
our
my
gosh.
Oh, see, we need to go again. That was so fun.
That would be fun, even though we whiffed like every other.
I won.
Yeah,
you did.
You were killing it that night. That was very fun.
Never happens.
Skill there.
No, never happens.
Well, you know what I discovered is I need to just walk up to the ball and hit it.
Yeah.
If I like look where I want it to go and adjust myself and, you know, then I
bomb.
I just want to like Happy Gilmore like
run at it. Yes. No, you will fall Josh, off that ledge.
Josh was doing that a lot the last time we went.
So funny.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Enough vamping?
Yes, that's enough. Now you guys got to see another side of us, an unfiltered side of us just chatting because this is what we do.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think we talked enough about CrossFit. But
well, that's a whole other one.
So what we kind of like to do just to get everyone... that's what I'm doing. Okay. What we like to do to get everyone warmed up and having fun, because that's obviously what we like to do on this podcast, is talk about... emojis. Do you use them?
I do.
What is your favorite or most used emoji?
Probably my most used emoji is the winking smiley face.
Ooh, oh,
not very creative, but I
Who
have...
are you winking at?
Well, I'm usually sarcastic in my responses, yeah. So I include the little wink so people don't think I'm being mean.
Fair.
So, however, I've noticed since I updated my iPhone that now when I'm typing words, if there's a little emoji to go with it, it offers it up to me.
I love it.
And I don't want to use that in place of the word, I might want to put it at the end of the sentence. I'll type the word again so it gives me the little picture back and I add it. So
the winky
I'm super
emoji.
Creative now.
The winky emoji is like the... It's the equivalent of, don't take this the wrong way, but.
No offense, but. You know, offense is always prior to or
prepare to be
that.
Offended.
But winky face.
Yes, yes. Well, today we want to talk about just kind of the evolution of marketing that you've seen as long as you've been in the industry. We're coming up on year 12 of this company. But you've obviously been involved in... content marketing and marketing in general prior to that. So when you began this business almost 12 years ago, tell us what marketing channels were most being utilized in that time period, and then we'll kind of look at how that's changed over the past 12 years.
Well, I love how I'm being positioned as this awesome expert, so I'm going to ride on that
you
for
are.
A while. But what's interesting when I started the company is marketing really was kind of at a turning point, right? So websites had already come out and they were starting to be used, but they were very static at the time. One of the companies that I worked for back in that time period, for instance, really didn't even have a website. They had a URL. They had a couple of images on a page. That was about it. The owner of the company felt like people sell products to people, so we don't need to have a digital presence. In the 12 years, 13 or 14 since I've had that conversation, we've seen a significant shift to where websites are much more important now. They're really not static environments anymore. They're very dynamic. And social media, of course, has emerged. But one thing that has been very consistent throughout that is content. Content has always been very important. And while that was where I started the business, was a heavy focus on content and working with different marketing companies and organizations throughout the world, it's something that has really not changed at all. One thing that we have seen are some trends that have emerged out of that.
Right.
So when I say content, I'm speaking more to the written word. But of course, we've seen that evolve into video, graphics, audio, webinars, things of that nature. But we do see trends come out where people are trying to produce a lot of content in a short amount of time. So the quality of that content is usually significantly lower than other content. For a while, that was a great way to dominate search engines. And then Google stepped up and said, you know what? No, we're not going to tolerate that anymore. If you want to get things in front of your audience, it needs to be quality content. It needs to be things that people want to read. And so they would not only rate according to the type of content that you were creating through their algorithms and things like that, but they also started putting people on their search engine teams, and they would actually review sites with live people. And those individuals would come back and say, hey, this is a great site. The content they have is value add. It's actually meant to support the purpose of the site. Or this site has really been built for link bait. It's not a value add. The content isn't good. There's a lot of grammar issues. It's written for, you know, a fifth grade audience, whatever the case may be. And that could quickly get a site blacklisted. A lot of things have changed and evolved over time. But one of the things that was consistent then that I think is still consistent today. You know, while that particular business owner that I mentioned before said people buy from people, mm-hmm. I still believe that to be true. Mm-hmm. And we see that too, right, you know, even sure. in our business yeah, and the people that we...
It's a higher conversion rate. And, yeah.
Exactly. The people that we interact with and the trust that's built and things like that. But a lot of what we do in our marketing world is start to build the connections mm-hmm. and to soften those initial conversations. And then it makes it much easier for us to build those relationships yeah. and close the business.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the stuff, the point of the websites that we build are getting in touch with those consumers and the people that are using it. So even though they're coming to the website, our end result is still to get in touch with them in some way,
right?
Whether it's their email or, you know, helping them find a solution. So the point of it all is still kind of the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
How we have the conversation is
and
different.
It can vary a lot by the industry, the target audience. You know, there's definitely this assumption that the millennials don't want to interact with people.
Right.
So there's a lot of self-service. There's a lot of transactional type of things going on where they're interacting with a system and not a person. Mm-hmm. But what's funny, though, all of this research that's been done, it's almost like they had a particular goal in mind. So they wanted to be able to prove that that's what millennials want instead of that's actually what mm-hmm. they want. Right. So now we're starting to see that millennials are actually not exactly what we thought them to mm-hmm. be. A lot of them do like the face-to-face, the interaction, the personalized mm-hmm. service, the care. And they actually like to read magazines with their hands and not always their yeah. devices. So right. there's a lot of things that are coming out that are different than a lot of those mm-hmm. Assumptions first yeah. were.
Can we talk blogs for a second? So do you remember Zanga?
Uh-huh.
I had a Zynga account. It's where I wrote about all my heartbreak and woes.
I have never heard of that.
And I was smart enough to print all of my blog posts out before I shut down my account after my big heartbreak. But when did blogs
Can
evolve?
Can I read those?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. So excited.
I mean, maybe. I need to reread them.
That makes me wish I would have downloaded all of the glittery emojis I put on my MySpace before.
Oh, yeah.
Or do you remember MySpace. When Facebook had buttons?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We did yeah. buttons for a few years for our clients, and then Facebook
really?
Shut it down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Funny. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay.
Please keep talking about
but
your
when did when? No one wants to hear that. When did blogs evolve from being more of a personal thing to a business thing, or was it always there? And I don't know, because I know a lot of people, when we say you need a blog for your business, they're like, what? I mean, people mm-hmm. still view that as like, oh, that's where
Anonymous.
Moms write about their crafting yeah. projects and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
That was something that we were seeing a lot when we first started the business. So a lot of the companies that we were working with, we were putting together like content for their websites or press releases or brochures, white papers, case studies, mm-hmm. things like that. At that time, a lot of the blogging that you saw going on were people who were blogging for affiliates and they were making a lot of money doing that. And again, it was much more personalized. It would be, you know, something similar to your That's What She Read mm-hmm. blog.
Ooh, but little plug there.
But promoting for specific brands, right? But what we saw start to happen is companies are looking at this going, here's an opportunity to get into conversation with our clients or our potential mm-hmm. clients and actually have a more relational type of engagement going yeah. on. Getting away from the, I want to write about my dog and everything that my dog did today. And that was some of the conversations that we had when we were talking to companies about why blogging was important. You know, they would ask questions like, well, do people really care what's going on with me and my family or my dog? Or, you know, yeah. and that's really what they thought blogging was. And when it first came out, that's really what we saw. What we were talking about, though, was how they could develop this personal relationship, but it was more the assets or the benefits that their company offers, how that can affect that individual,
right.
either in their personal life or their business mm-hmm. life, whatever it was that they were targeting. And you could get much more personal. You know, if yep. you do a press release or a news piece, something like that, it's very third person. It's very, you know, you're kind of hovering up above everything and you're telling the story, but it's all very professional and
yeah.
very formal.
And it's that third person, or it's very disconnected where mm-hmm. your blog is very personal. It's inside and it's directly coming from you, which
exactly.
other things can get a little watered down.
Right. And you can focus in on a particular topic, you know, mm-hmm. so if a company, you know, one of the clients that we were doing a lot of blogging for, they were in financial services and they would target companies like dental offices, orthodontics, things like that, to be able to offer financing to their clients. A lot of the blogging that we would do would be targeted towards those business managers, sometimes the doctor or the dentist, but usually they're not looking at those things. It's the ones that are running their offices and running their financial programs. So you would focus in on, do you have 25% of your patients coming in and they can't get the procedures that you're offering because you can't get them approved for financing? So this company was stepping in and being that subprime mm-hmm. provider. And we were driving a lot of traffic through talking about those types of mm-hmm. things, because you actually focus in on day-to-day business problems that they're mm-hmm. having.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll discuss some of the transitions from traditional to digital and what works best for your target market.
Do you love all the tips you're getting on Unfiltered Marketing? You can continue the conversation with SJC on any of the Big Five social media platforms. We're on Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, you name it, we're on it. So come talk to us. It's Marketing SJC, and we'll see you there. All right, we're back with Susan after a short break, and we have some great information from you about what's changed in the last 12 years with content marketing, but you did mention how it hasn't changed, and I think that sometimes that's just as important. So can you talk to us a little bit more about what's tried and true and what needs to stay the same and what is still effective in content marketing?
Well, I think one thing that never should change is the quality of the content that you're producing. And quality is that ambiguous word, right? Because mm-hmm. everybody has a different opinion of mm-hmm. what that means. I have a pretty high standard for what quality means when it comes to the content that we create. And because of that, it's not just having something that's well written. It's all about, what is the story that you're telling? Are you really just regurgitating things that you've seen someone else write? Mm-hmm. So you're really just saying the same thing again in your own words? Or are you coming up with new ideas? Are you exploring different problems and offering your own insights? Are you basing it on research, or are you basing it on just how you feel for the day? You know, so all of those things that go into it are really important to consider. And at the end of the day, you have to remember that the people that you're serving this content to are intelligent people.
Right.
They're going to be able to see through your BS. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be good quality content that gives them something they didn't have before.
Right. And it has to keep their attention, because we
exactly.
have like a 10-second attention span.
Exactly. And that's what people want. Mm-hmm. That's also what will keep them coming back. It's something that, you know, we will hear that time and time again from the companies that we work with. The content, ours is second to none. It really is quality, because we put it through a significant process to make sure what we're producing is not just some fluff that, you know, right. will drive traffic to the website.
Yeah. And we
pay
attention.
Really won't do it.
No, it won't. And we pay attention to trends too. So our writing team is always like, okay, your headlines need to be this. Your keywords have to be in your subtitle, and your keywords have to show up here, and how not to overdo it. I mean, it's right. not like you learned how to blog 12 years ago and you're still doing it the same.
Right.
But the basis is the same. Mm-hmm. But we try really hard to, we're learning about titles and email subjects. And then there's so many ways to keep it interesting, but mm-hmm. still, it's the quality that's super important.
Right. And things change, you right. know. So the way that Google is organizing information and categorizing content today, it's going to be different 6 mm-hmm. months from now. It's going to mm-hmm. be different a year from now. But even the way that the social channels are organizing content, because that's becoming more and more important as well. That, and having some of that great graphic and audio and video content
yeah,
to support the written content that you have. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It makes it a little bit more exciting. You know, you have some people that are very visual. They want to see the visuals. They don't really want to read.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's where you have to balance that a little bit too, based on who it is that you're working with, what their subject matter is, who's their target market, you know, all of those things right. play into it.
That's how Rachel and I get so excited. We're like, oh, that's infographic potential. You know, anytime we have the opportunity to put some kind of cool graphic or a yeah. video, we've tried video.
Well, and that's really true, because, and probably one of the reasons you guys get so excited is we do a lot of business with business to business companies.
Yeah.
And a lot of their focus is not necessarily something that we can put out on Instagram yeah. or have an infographic. So then when you have the opportunity, it becomes very
yeah.
exciting.
Yeah. And it just goes to show how you can utilize multiple channels for one piece of content. Mm-hmm. And in that, mm-hmm. I don't mean like you can say the exact same thing, but you can have maybe your base as a blog, and then you put together an infographic to go in that blog, and you put together a social graphic to promote that blog, and you send out an email with a teaser about that blog. And it's all of a sudden you've got 5 different pieces of content really stemming from just one. But you're hitting different mediums and different ways that people like to learn or be communicated
right.
with. Why it always goes back to content, and it's why our slogan is We Write, You Shine, because mm-hmm. it all goes back to the content. If we didn't have content, there would be nothing to be promoting or, mm-hmm. you know, And so that kind of covers one of the other questions I wanted to ask was how you've seen content marketing grow and change in regards to adding in these new things like social media or pay-per-click ads. Really, you still need the quality and you still need the good keywords, but you have a lot less characters maybe to work with. Mm-hmm. What are some other changes that you've seen with different mediums that have come in?
Well, I think the fact that we can test things so quickly is really, really nice. So, you know, you mentioned pay-per-click campaigns. Mm-hmm. So when you're building landing pages and trying to drive specific campaigns, and we've had a lot of fun, I think, with some of the different things that we've done. Yeah. But being able to see for that particular market, you know, we have research that we use to say, you know, this consumer will respond to this type of offer or call to action in this amount of time. And that's what we should expect in terms of conversions. And then when you actually put it into mm-hmm. motion, then you see, oh, this consumer is not reacting to this. They mm-hmm. actually are reacting to this. It's a lot of reasons why we do A/B testing, so we can see, you know, is the research right? Or, you know, we have a hunch that maybe we should be doing something different, test them both and see what happens. And so it's very exciting to be able to do that. And we can move so quickly in traditional channels. And a lot of those that we still use, things do not move that quickly. It's more expensive. It's more static. And mm-hmm. you have to make sure you're absolutely right mm-hmm. whenever you put something out there. But when we're able to do these digital mediums and actually track things almost instantly, it's awesome to be able to say, you know, this is great. Here's this piece that we're missing, or, you know, this piece needs to come out because that's what's tripping people up, and then see either things get better or worse.
Yeah. So not to get all braggy, but I'm going to get braggy.
It's okay. We're in a safe spot.
Safe space. Susan, how many articles have been published online in the last, I don't know, how long have you been writing? 12 years?
Yeah. It's over 10,000. I don't know what the most recent number is.
You know, just over.
You know, whatever. No big deal.
Just like a little more than 100 or 200.
So basically she knows what she's talking about.
So that's why, that's what you hear the phrase, content is king. I mean, it feels overused at times. And I think we just did one of our newsletters about that.
We did.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said we, and I wrote that. So I should remember if we did that or not, but yeah, but it is. I mean, that's just the fact.
Well,
I
mean, I always talk to my clients about this is your opportunity to shine, mm-hmm. to show your expertise. Like, you can only say so much in a billboard. You can only have so many characters in a social media ad. But this, when they get to that spot, they're like, wow, this person knows what they're talking about. And even when we blog, we always talk about a problem or talk about something. And then at the end, we're like, hey, let's continue this conversation because mm-hmm. we have your attention now, but call us and we'll talk more.
Yeah.
Or here's an example of a case study where we did this exact same thing that we're telling you to do. And it worked. That attention you get from demonstrating your expertise is golden. Right
now. Well, I think you hit on something that's a conversation that we have with people on a regular basis.
Right,
is being able to demonstrate that you're the expert in your field. These conversations are happening. Why not be the one that's driving the information and engaged in these conversations? Because this is how people vet companies now.
Right.
It used to be we would rely on salespeople to be the subject matter expert. We would go into, you know, a car dealership or talk to a real estate agent or whatever the case may be and rely on them to feed us everything that we need to know to make our buying decision.
Yeah.
Now we do all of that research on our own mm-hmm. and we often can know more than that salesperson when we walk in the door. Mm-hmm. If you're searching for information and a particular brand that wants to be that expert is not popping up on the top when you're looking, then their competitor is, and that's where they're going to be doing that business. And that's why that content is so important. Mm-hmm. And it's so important that it's a value add and that it's speaking to the problems that clients are having or that their clients are having. Because if it's not, it's just filler. It's just fluff that they're putting out there to put it out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can put this in a nutshell, but can you talk a little bit about how that organic content is so much more effective than bought ads on Google? I know that's a lot. That's probably a whole nother podcast, but there's a whole nother reason why we do what we do.
Yeah. And that would be awesome to have that as a podcast and bring Amy in and let's have some conversations around that. But that's also part of the conversation we'll have with clients at times too, because those are two separate things, right? Mm-hmm. So you can have your PPC campaign and you can drive some conversions that way. The challenge to that is that as soon as you stop paying Google and turn it off, all of that goes away.
Right.
When you're building it organically, it's much more sustainable. But at the same time, you can lose that if you turn it off. So you can put a lot of great content out there, but if you stop doing it, your competitors continue. They start taking over the space that you had. You know, we saw that happen with one of our clients because they wanted to reduce their budget for a while. And then, you know, 4 or 5 months later, he's calling me saying, hey, we're not on the first page of Google anymore. And I said, yes, because Shocker. You took your budget away and we stopped doing that work. This is what happens. Yep. But that was great for him to be able to take that to his CEO and say, look, what we were doing really does matter.
Yep.
Because we could correlate that to the calls that they were getting for the new opportunities they were having. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't just a matter of getting on the first page of Google. It was the conversions that we were demonstrating mm-hmm. as well. Yeah. And, you know, all of those things matter.
Yeah. That's a whole nother
topic. Yeah, that would be a great topic.
Mm-hmm. EPC, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in today. And Susan, thank you for joining us.
Sure.
And
we'll bring you back, I'm sure.
I guess.
Maybe. I just learned way more.
She didn't pay for this podcast, Mike. And that one.
Well, I don't know. Sometime we need to talk Disney movies or something because yes. I laughed a lot when I listened to your last podcast.
Well, we can talk Disney anytime. Yes. I just apparently can't sing about it.
No.
Because then Zach has to cut it out.
You cut out her singing. Right. Poor thing.
Copywriting, schmoppy writing. That's what I say. All right. Thanks for listening. Stay unfiltered.
Continue today's topic with us by tweeting your thoughts to Marketing SJC or visit our website, sjc.marketing.